We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine. It's prediction time. Yes, we're entering the danger zone. Making our predictions, our bold predictions, Bruce. It was pointed out to us by our buddy Ron.
He's sitting there with a pen and paper.
I know. He's waiting anxiously, as they all are out there in our audience. But Ron pointed out, because he does keep notes, and copious notes they are. 2 years ago, we both picked the White Sox to get to the World Series.
We did.
And that's two, you can look at this two ways. One, how ridiculous we are with these predictions and how little we know about the sport. Or two, how far the Sox have fallen so quickly to the point where they entered that season legitimately considered contenders.
Well, I mean, they were coming off winning a division.
I know.
They solidified and added to the team.
And okay? Now they're largely irrelevant.
They looked as loaded as they had been since 2000 and probably 2007.
And now
2006, 2007.
They look like if they fell into that open land, the 78, nobody would miss them or bother to look for them.
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
It's
sad.
You could play a fun game with White Sox fans. Name six players other than the guys that you know on the Chicago White Sox.
I know. I always say, this bullpen brought to you by Google. I mean, they could have a sponsor.
Right.
All right, let's get to our predictions, because I think we both probably aren't picking the White Sox to win the division, the AL Central, but we are picking our division winners. Let's start in the American League. Let's go division by division, and then our wild card selections, and then who's going to win the pennant. Go first, Bruce. You can do
it. All right, we're going American League first.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go American League. The division winners are Texas in the West, Detroit in the Central, and Baltimore in the East.
Hmm.
My wild cards, David, are Seattle, Houston, and the Yankees. So we're going with three teams from the West making part of the Super Six that end up at the end of the year as playoff teams.
What do you like about the Tigers that put them over the top?
I just like some of the ads that they had in the offseason here. I think that they're going to hit. Their pitching is coming around. Young guys, I think you saw it last year. They have to get some type of contribution from Javier Baez.
You would think.
You hope so. I mean, it's not a slam dunk that Detroit wins that division. It's a division by default in some cases. Minnesota is still okay. They really haven't done a lot to their team from last year. I think they won 87 games or something like that. It's, you know.
And your pennant matchup and winner is?
My pennant winner is the Baltimore Orioles. They are loaded. They have added, you know, a great pitcher at the top in Burns. They've had sustained some injuries in spring training, but I think that Bradish is going to come along and pitch pretty quickly for him. You know, a lot of people don't know the Baltimore Orioles very well, but they are deep, they are young, they are extremely talented. This kid Holiday, who's not making the opening day roster, has a really good chance to be the rookie of the year and be brought up in a couple of weeks into the season, a la, you know, the kind of things that we saw with the Cubs, you know, 10 years
ago. They also have a good manager in Brandon Hyde, friend of the program, former Cub first base coach. You know, he is experienced and he's paid his dues there. I also then have the Orioles winning the East. I have the Tigers winning the Central. We did not compare notes, by the way. I have the Astros winning the West and the Rangers, Yankees, and Blue Jays. The Blue Jays. A lot of talent still. A lot of talent there.
But they're going to have to hit more.
I know, but they have so much. You look at that roster and you're like, why
is Ohtani on that team?
No, he's not. He's still on a plane, though.
All right.
Who knows? Although, if he's on a plane now, you don't know where it's headed.
Ohtani would be, I mean, Toronto might be my pick to win just on base if they would have added Ohtani.
If they would have, yes, definitely. Yeah. Although, maybe there'll be some distractions along the way. Yeah, Ohtani. Not on a plane anywhere, but if he is, we know the feds might be tracking that one.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So anyway, the Blue Jays, my third wild card team. I have my pennant, the Baltimore Orioles over the Astros. I'm bullish on Baltimore. I am with you on that one because young talent galore, they've developed it, they've paid their dues. I think they're ready to take off. So that's my American League. All right, Bruce, let's go to the National League. Divisional winners.
You go first, Dave.
All right, I'll go first. In the East, Philadelphia Phillies.
Wow.
Philadelphia Phillies. Due respect to the Braves, I think the Phillies.
Not much.
The Phillies, when you look at their postseason, they get there and then they're clutch in the postseason. I'm not sure there's any team in baseball has more postseason victories in the play, than the Phillies in the last 3 years. I'm going with the Phillies in the East. I'm going with the Dodgers in the West. They get past their distractions. We're all going to focus on Ohtani and all the distractions. My goodness, that only leaves them five perennial All-Stars in their lineup. I mean, goodness sakes. They have so much talent. I have the Cubs winning the Central. I have the Cubs winning the Central. We'll get to the victory total later. But the Cubs in the Central. And my wild card are the Braves, the Giants, and the Diamondbacks. Three teams then from the West making the postseason. And my pennant is Phillies over Dodgers. Philadelphia, yes, they are going to play in the World Series again.
Well, they're certainly playoff tested, and they didn't quite make it last year as Arizona surprised them at the end. But I understand your picks. Mine are the Dodgers in the West. I think that's an easy pick for me. Whatever problems they have can be solved by the tremendous depth that they have in their team. The Braves are still, to me, the best team in baseball. They win the East. And I went up and back between the Cubs and Reds. I really did.
Reds, you think you're going to be right there in the end?
The Reds are going to be really good.
Because of talent? You trust a manager in a case like that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I think that they're going to be a really good team if they get enough pitching. So I'm going Cubs, but I'm hedging a bit with winning that division. I think it's going to be close. My wild cards are Arizona, Philadelphia, and the Reds.
Okay.
And my National League pennant winner is the Atlanta Braves, who are so deep and were so deep and have added bullpen help and have added players for depth at positions. They're loaded. I mean, it's just it's a All-star team that they start almost every single
day. As we struggle to name pitchers in the White Sox bullpen or on their roster, it is interesting, as you mentioned, the Braves as your class of the National League. Two ex-White Sox pitchers are in the rotation right now. Chris Sale, Ronaldo Lopez.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Does it give you hesitation, or does it say, hey, they see something or they can do something with the players that other people can't do?
Forget that. It gives you PTSD if you're a Sox fan. They used to have Chris Sale. They traded him. That was supposed to be the rebuild that worked. It didn't.
Yeah. Don't forget Bummer in the bullpen.
Oh, boy. That's right.
Yeah. So you got three of the 13 former White Sox.
Well, at least they got Michael Soroka in return. He's in the Sox rotation for sure.
And,
right?
And that's a guy you hopefully will be happy to
have. We digress. So we both have the Orioles in the American League. In the National League, you pick the Braves. I pick the Phillies. So what do you think is going to happen in our hypothetical World Series?
The Atlanta Braves beat Baltimore in seven games, okay? And Ronald Acuna hits two home runs in the last. Ron, write this down. In the seventh game, Acuna hits two home runs to win it for the Braves.
Ron, write this down. Bryce Harper, legend. And the legend grows. Bryce Harper hits a game-winning home run to clinch it. Game six, game seven, I don't know. It's March. I can't tell you what's going to happen
in
November.
Come on, you have to make a pick.
Okay, game six.
All right,
it's going to be Phillies in six over the Orioles.
Right, Ron's got that written down.
And it's Philadelphia celebrating yet again. Nothing good happens to the Phillies, right? Jeez, it's a dynasty, it seems like. They're always in the postseason. But Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, too much offense. They're going to get clutch pitching. I like that team, and I think that is the way the World Series is going to go. All right, individual awards. Let's go back to the American League. Cy Young and MVP, Bruce, who will they be?
Well, my Cy Young Award winner is Corbin Burnes of the Baltimore Orioles, okay? He, for a lot of reasons, he's a great pitcher. He's on a great team now with an outstanding bullpen, and he's a free agent. All those things outside of an injury point to a superior year for a guy that's, for the first time in a long time, going to have a lot of offense behind him to help him stay in games and win games. He might win as many as 21, 22 games, I think, this year. So I really like him as the as my American League MVP. My National League MVP.
No, you're Cy Young, American League Cy Young. So who's your American League MVP?
Corey Seager, Texas Rangers.
Nice call.
Yeah, he's just
nice call.
Oh, just such a good player. Yeah. If he can stay healthy for 150 games, he's going to put up some amazing numbers. He's an outstanding shortstop. I'm going that way. David?
Okay, so I am going with my MVP. I'll start with that because I'm going all Orioles. I mean, I love the Oriole. It's a beautiful bird, and I love their team. Adley Rutschman is going to be the MVP.
He was my second pick there.
Was he? Yeah, I think because it's his time. Young player coming into his own and on a team that's going to win a ton of games, and he's going to be a huge reason why. And I think that this one is what I struggled with, the Cy Young Award, because you don't know about health. You come off of Garrett Cole, you come off of Gausman, you come out of some of those guys. But if Corbin Burns stays healthy, I'm with you, Bruce. I wrote it down last night. I beat you to it, maybe. I think he's going to be the AL Cy Young Award winner as well. All right, let's go nationally.
People are going to think we compared notes, right?
Yeah, I guess. I didn't realize we'd be this similar this soon.
Yeah,
but,
it's not great radio.
We can argue later.
I mean, we can argue about it.
Cy Young in the National League.
Cy Young in the National League has changed and hedged, and within a day, I've changed my mind. Because will this Ohtani situation be a total distraction for him? I think 95% of the people are going to predict Ohtani, right, going in, if all things are equal. But how much of a distraction is this going to be for him on a new team, having to deal with all this personal stuff? I'm going with Freddie Freeman. I'm taking the same team.
Wow.
I'm switching to Freeman.
Freddie Freeman, that's a good call.
Yeah, he's my guy, but I say it grudgingly because I think Ohtani's going to kill with a lineup around him that he's never had before.
Okay.
You know.
Who's your MVP? Who's your Cy Young?
Cy Young is a guy that used to pitch on the south side of Chicago. His name is Dylan Cease.
Oh, my gosh. I did not think you'd go Dylan Cease. For the Padres? The Padres aren't going to be that good, are they?
No, but Cease will.
Oh, geez. He's going to be jet-lagged. He went to South Korea. Now he's coming back. His start's going to be delayed.
What he is going to be on a better team with a better support system for him this year. And I look for him to dominate in the National League.
I think that he's not even the most likely Cy Young candidate on that staff. I think Yu Darvish would be.
Well,
maybe not. Maybe I'm just bitter the Sox traded him.
Talk to Ron about it.
Okay, well, you write it down, Ron, in ink. Bruce says
he's got it.
Dylan Cease is going to be the AL Cy or the NL Cy Young Award winner. I'm going Zach
Good
Wheeler.
Good call.
He's Phillies. It's one of those things that if you have a team that is going to have as good of a season as they are, good things will happen, which brings me right to the MVP. I'm a big Bryce Harper guy. I've liked him since he came out. As a teenager, I've liked him, all of the bravado. I don't typically go for all that kind of stuff, but Bryce Harper backs it up. He plays hurt. I would love to have him on any team.
That's my problem, is he plays hurt.
And he could get hurt again.
Yeah,
that could be a good call.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper, though, would be my MVP. All right, let's switch it over to, did we say the World Series yet? We did say. Did you pick your World Series?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, Braves.
Let's go to Cubs and Sox then. Victory totals for both sides of town. MVP for both sides of town. Let's start with the White Sox.
You start, Dave.
Okay, I will start with the White Sox. Their season starts Thursday, and it's at 3:10 at Guaranteed Rate Field. And I said earlier, that is a promise and a threat. It's going to be a long year. It's going to be a long year. And that's not exactly breaking news here on the Score. But you're going to struggle to find things to follow and manufacture some interest, but I think we're going to do our best to do that. It's still Major League Baseball. 68-94.
Wow.
68-94.
Very generous.
I don't think that's too great, Bruce. 60, that means you're going to lose 94 games. You're going to be improved. They lost 101 last year. I guess they're going to improve 7 games.
That's a lot.
Well, they need to play cleaner. They were a dysfunctional mess last year. I don't think we'll encounter those kinds of stories and that kind of problem. Maybe they'll be gritty and clean and fundamentally sound, and I hope they do because bad baseball is hard to watch. So is losing baseball. Luis Robert Jr. will be the MVP, and if he's not, then there should be an investigation.
Oh, you jumped me on the MVP.
Well, I think that is not exactly a lot of suspense there, Bruce. I mean,
no.
The odds are
someone could pick
heavy.
Eloy.
Yeah, Eloy, a better bet would be is Eloy going to finish the season with the White Sox?
Right. That's interesting because they did try, especially early in November, December, to trade Eloy, and they never heard anything realistic back for him. So
68-94 MVP Luis Robert Jr.
All right, I have the White Sox with 63 wins, wow. And I gave them that extra win on purpose.
99 losses?
99 losses.
You didn't want back-to-back 100-loss seasons?
No, I didn't.
You were so kind.
And I think I have to look at the White Sox as just a developmental team, that it's actually AAA at the big leagues, and you're going to want to develop some good players. I want to see Montgomery come up by Memorial Day and play the rest of the year. I want to see some young pitchers come up from the minor leagues, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be really hard
Nick
to get.
Mastrini, he'll get a look.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think the innings are there for their starting pitchers.
Drew Thorpe, will he start with a big league team?
He might, you know.
These are the names you're going to have to learn, Sox fans.
But again, there's going to be some things that you're just going to have to deal with. You know, they're going to get beat up at certain times.
So 63 victories means 99 losses, and who is your MVP? Is it?
It's Luis Robert.
It has to be, doesn't it?
I mean, he's going to be vying for the MVP of the league, okay? I mean, he's really on the cusp of 45 home runs, 120 RBIs, 30 stolen bases.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he is... You know, Acuna of the league.
He's the best player in town,
and with any support around him, which you don't know if he'll get. You know, he's just going to be he'll be great.
Do you agree with that statement? He's the best player in Chicago.
Yes,
both sides of town.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think it's a fair statement.
I don't think he's close.
All right, let's go to the Cubs. I'll start with the Cubs in terms of their victory total and MVP. When you talk about their victory total, I believe that they are capable of winning 88 games. Last year, the Diamondbacks they won the pennant and they won 84. The Cubs theoretically could stick at 85 as a prediction and we'd be safe. You go a little bit like things fall into place. Maybe they make a move here or there. I think they're capable of 88 victories. I would love to go out on a limb and say for their MVP that it would be somebody like, say, a Suzuki, who is poised for a big year. And maybe he will be that guy. But I do think that their MVP, most valuable player, to me, on the Cubs, is Dansby Swanson this year.
Right.
I think he's going to be the guy that establishes himself as the go-to guy defensively, and certainly he's going to hit a little bit more. Dansby Swanson, MVP, Cubs win 88 games.
I have the Cubs at 85 wins. I have a division that's really, I mean, I like Cincinnati. I just think that I'm still not sold on St. Louis pitchers. I think they're too old. Yeah, I just don't think they're going to get enough good innings out of those starters that they brought in. Pittsburgh is going to be better, but they're not there yet. So, in my opinion, it's the Cubs with 85 wins, and Christopher Morel is my MVP.
Wow!
I think he steps up to the 35.
That's a limb.
35-40 home run area, and he becomes...
Lifeguard!
He becomes,
Bruce just went over his skis.
He becomes the most electric offensive player for the Cubs.
Wow.
Since Bryant and Rizzo. Okay, so I'm looking at him to really step it up.
35-40 home runs would be a huge, huge year for Christopher Morel.
He hit 36 last year. 25 in the majors and 26 in the majors, 11 in the minors.
Can he get the AAA pitchers to pitch to him for the first month of this season too?
I just think there's a maturity that's coming there.
I hope so, Bruce. That would be tremendous. I'll tell you what, if he is that good in that lineup and they get the pitching that we think they can, then 88 wins might be conservative. 85 certainly would be. That's going to be a quality baseball
team. You know, I'm going out on a limb. Look,
and I like it.
I might be wrong, but I think that I believe in the growth of some of these young players in the Cub organization. I really do. I think for the first time in a long time, they have legitimate major league players other than number one picks coming through their organization.
It's a lot of fun making these predictions, and only Ron will remember them because he's writing them down. So
we hope it's only
we
Ron.
We hope it's only Ron, exactly. And you can hear about Christopher Morel. He's probably going to be playing later today. because spring training action for the Cubs continues against the Brewers later. Coverage begins at 2:55 right here on 670 The Score with Zach Zaidman, our guy, and Ron Coomer on the call. For the latest on the Cubs or the Sox, try listening to the chapters from our show through the Odyssey app. Just search 670 The Score and tap on a recent episode of our show to get started. When we come back, Garrett Crochet, the opening day starter for the Chicago White Sox, joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
We're back on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine. We are attempting to connect with Garrett Crochet. Hope to talk to the White Sox opening day starter before the end of the program, Bruce. But the biggest story in baseball deserves a little bit of our attention here. Shohei Ohtani is now part of an investigation that nobody saw coming. It's one of the most bizarre stories of 2024. And I could say that on March 23rd, and I'm going to be able to say that on December 31st of 2024. When you have the biggest player in the game included in a gambling scandal initiated by his interpreter, who was fired by the Dodgers, and it leads to this. News dump Friday, 6 o'clock, Major League Baseball statement, quote, "Major League Baseball has been gathering information since we learned about the allegations involving Shohei Ohtani and Ipe Mizuhara from the news media. Earlier today, our Department of Investigations began their formal process investigating the matter." We're talking about not just, hey, buddy, here's $2,000 and I'm going to bet it on some of my favorite soccer team. $4.5 million is the alleged and reported amount that Shohei Ohtani authorized to be paid to an illegal bookmaker in the state of California. And this was part of a federal probe, and it all blew up as the Dodgers were playing the Padres in South Korea. Quite a week, Bruce.
Could it be as simple as, my friend is in trouble, I've loaned him the money to get him out of being seriously impacted, hurt, I'm just taking care of my friend. Can it be as simple as that?
Could it be as simple as that? The answer would be yes. Then the follow-up to that is, well, if the answer is yes, why in the world is Ohtani's team accusing the interpreter of, quote, massive theft? Massive theft is not, I'm helping a friend. Massive theft is, my buddy bilked me out of $4.5 million. So what you're suggesting is plausible, I think, but it doesn't fit or square with the other part of the report, which Shohei Ohtani's people reached out to ESPN after the original interview with the interpreter and the story was about to break, and essentially said, well, no, he was not helping a friend. This is massive theft. So if that's the case, and they were seen chumming around in the dugout, there's not a lot that adds up here.
Yeah, we're going to need more information, obviously. But again, how does this impact Ohtani? How does it impact the Dodgers? More importantly, maybe Major League Baseball.
Especially Major League Baseball.
Yeah. And
especially Major League Baseball.
Right. I mean, and, you know, gambling is such a big part of sports now. We see it in advertising for media. We see it for advertising on all of baseball games, basketball games. It's huge. But there's a difference between legal gambling and illegal gambling. Okay?
That's exactly right. And that's a distinction that does have a difference, because you can't participate in illegal gambling and still like, oh, well, you know, and blame the pervasive nature of sports gambling in everything that you see right. in Major League Baseball. You go to Wrigley Field. There's a sports book open right now. You go any place in the station. You hear betting ads all the time. I'm a spokesman for FanDuel. It's just, we don't want to be hypocrites here, but there are rules to follow. There are guidelines that exist, and Major League Baseball prohibits gambling on the game.
You read me the rule off the
air. So, okay, so Rule 21 is what we're alluding to, and Rule 21 essentially says if you're betting on sports other than baseball or softball, baseball personnel may place legal bets on sports other than baseball in jurisdictions in which sports betting is legal, provided that the person placing the bet is eligible under applicable law to place the wager. Likewise, baseball personnel may participate in legal fantasy games and leagues relating to sports other than baseball. When that is violated, like it would be if Ohtani is linked to an illegal bet because it's in the state of California, the sense would be he would face some sort of suspension or discipline. It would not be a ban, because the rules do permit players to bet on other sports, provided it's legal.
Right. But, you know, being able to discern between a gambling loan and gambling itself is going to have to be determined here, right?
There's no doubt about that. And I think that's part of this investigation, because it remains unclear if authorities are investigating a theft that they're alleging, if they're just looking at this as Ohtani did anything more than just push a button. We don't know.
Right.
And it complicates things, because we're not going to hear from him.
Right. Well, because the Dodgers, let's just look at the Dodgers' action. They haven't said anything at all other than firing this guy, right?
Yes.
So you would have to say that Ohtani was along with them on this situation of firing him, right?
I would think he would have to be.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the first step, is he did something illegal. It's wrong. We have to separate you and us and Major League Baseball from this guy. Okay. He's no longer an employee here. Now, what type of damage has been done here, and how does that impact the Los Angeles Dodgers, Ohtani, and Major League Baseball going forward? A lot of unanswered questions. The reality is that at the very least, this is a huge distraction for Ohtani and the Dodgers.
Changes the complexion and expectation for his season. It's going to be a story that doesn't go away this weekend, this month, and maybe at any point this season. It's an ongoing investigation and an ongoing saga.
And here's the interesting aspect. Ohtani doesn't talk regularly to the media.
Right. So he's not going to be able to have an access to.
So does this change
his message out?
Does this change this narrative that he's gotten the media to comply to? And that is, don't bother me in my locker. I'm not going to talk to you. Or does this open up the can of worms of, you have to talk more and more often because you can't allow people to think you're hiding something?
You need to be able to communicate a message that explains what your role was in this. And the Dodgers have to be professional enough to compel him to do that. You know, it's like, who is making the decision here? Is it Ohtani's team, or is it the Los Angeles Dodgers? I think we saw after the game in South Korea, the owner addressed the team. Andrew Friedman, the team president, addressed the team. Dave Roberts addressed the team. He sounded a little shaky, but there's a lot of this stuff happening in real time. You're right, Bruce, because all we want to know is, what does Ohtani have to say for himself, and how will he express that?
Right. And again, great reporting by Drellich of the Athletic, you know, doing all this hard work here. He does a terrific job. And the idea here that it's a distraction for a team that really can't it really can't handle it. It's a bad baseball story. The timing of it is unbelievably bad. Not that this would be good any time, but to start a major league season, it's hard to fathom.
It is hard to fathom. It certainly is not the way you want to go into the opening week of the baseball season, because this is the best time of year for baseball fans. Hope springs eternal. There's optimism in every major league city, maybe even on the south side. Is there? We'll talk about that when we come back. What are your expectations for the White Sox? What are your expectations for the Cubs? What do you think of Bruce and I's predictions? Are we way out over our skis, or are we going to be proven correct? Let us know. 312-644-6767. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Wrapping things up here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce, I think we have to provide a public service. So we need to let people know that, number one, Justin Steele is okay. He said so. He took a line drive off the knee. He's going to be okay. We'll find out if they move him back in the rotation, as you suggested. I think that's a little overreacty, but if that's a word, is overreacty a word?
Yeah. I just think the building up that pitch count to opening day is important, but two side sessions might be enough for them to say he's good to go.
Give him the ball. I think he can... He can figure it out. He's ready to go. He is the ace. And then the other one is the weather forecast for Thursday at Guaranteed Rate Field. South side of Chicago at the end of March sometimes can be a harsh environment. Not so much, maybe. 50 degrees and sunshine right now in the forecast.
And plenty of good seats available.
Plenty of good seats available, which may be the case on July 28th and September 28th.
Look, It's silly for me to say this, but I will anyways because I'm prone to saying silly things. Going to the ballpark, having a good seat guarantee every time you're there, enjoying Major League Baseball, albeit maybe the White Sox not winning more than they lose, it's still fun to go to the ballpark, okay? I don't care. It's the major leagues. I know expectations are different in 2024 than they were in 2060 or 1964 when I would go and sit at both ballparks and go to the day of the game and get the best seat there. If I would buy a cheaper seat, but I would end up in the best seat.
I want to ask you a question that is related to our business, the perception business. We deal with optics and we interpret things based on delivery, charisma, personality, and we make judgments. We're standing right in front of these managers. We're asking them questions, and we're judging them on how they answer them. And this might sound terribly unfair, but I want to get your opinion. Pedro Grifol, I think, has a lot to prove this year in a lot of different ways, but I think he's got to come across better to the fan base and the media is a conduit to that fan base. Could he look worse by comparison because Craig Counsell is so very good at that part of the job, or are we the only ones paying attention to what the Cub manager says on a daily basis and what the White Sox manager says and does on a daily basis? I wonder about that as we come to work every day.
It's a really interesting question, David, because in fairness to Grifol, and I agree with you. I don't disagree with anything you said. But Grifol was brought in to manage a team to the playoffs last year as a rookie without any experience. That didn't work out. You want to lay any of that on him? I think that's okay. Now he's asked a total different job, okay? He's asked to develop and put a smiley face on 60 to 70 wins, okay? And developing players that a lot of them should be at AAA but will be at Guaranteed Rate at 35th and Shields. I wouldn't want that job. I don't care if it's one of 30.
You wouldn't want that job.
I would not.
It's one of 30.
I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want that job because I don't know where you go with that.
You think he regrets taking that job?
No.
It's not what he was.
No, it's his lifelong dream.
It's not what it was reported to be when he took the job.
It was his lifelong dream to be a major league manager. It's a great job in theory. This particular job with the White Sox in 2024 is not a great job. It's just not. It isn't. If you win 70 games, are you considered a success?
If they win 70 games this year, he is.
Yeah. I mean, but is that good enough for White Sox fans?
No, it shouldn't be. And I don't think it is for most of them.
Right.
So let me ask you this. What's the number of wins that Craig Counsell has to contribute to, or what the Cubs have to be at the end of the year, or else this season could be deemed
contend all year and win 85 games? Be there at the end for your division or for the wild card. Is it a world championship team? It is not.
I'm going to stop you right there. Last year, that's exactly what happened. They contended all year. They did not make the playoffs. They didn't win 85, but they came as close to maxing out their potential as they could possibly. It was not a successful season.
I disagree. I think it was successful because nobody was predicting. I think I predicted that they'd win 86 games, and people were laughing at me.
And I probably think they overachieved based on my expectations. But I think that when you talk to Tom Ricketts at the end, the way they built them up, where they were in September, you ended it the way you did, and it's hard to call that a success.
It was a failure at the end, but overall the season had a lot of positives to it. I mean, I don't think you could...
No doubt.
I mean, and the fact that they're building a farm system where these farm system players hopefully will continue to come through the system and be talented major league players, again, like Bush in a trade, like Miguel Amaya,
behind the
catching.
Yeah.
Those are significant things. You're going to see, you know, guys like, young guys coming through the system that hopefully will be around for a lot of years.
You know, you mentioned football. We kid about the fact we were Caleb free for 2 hours, but the Bears are on the verge of something very good. I think likewise, you look at the Cubs. They're on the verge of something very good
they
again.
Should be. Yeah.
They should be. They purged. They did what they needed to do in that awful day in 2021 when everybody left town and goodbye, Javi, goodbye, Brian, goodbye, Rizzo. Now this is what they're looking at next.
Can you measure the success of the White Sox or the Cubs by if injuries continue to happen to their rotation, do Horton and Brown become viable replacements and major league pitchers right away?
It's a great question, and it's one that will continue to follow. That's why I think you can remove it and make it less important by reaching deep. Tom Ricketts and Jordan Montgomery still out there. Maybe that's a story we'll cover.
David's coming after your pocketbook, Tom.
We'll be here.
Look out.
We'll be here all every Saturday, all season long, talking about that and what they should do. Bruce, this was a lot of fun. We did not connect with Garrett Crochet. They're in a players-only meeting. God knows they need the time spent with each other and trying to figure things out. So, yeah, that's fine.
Hopefully, next week will be a different story. We need to get White Sox people on here as well as Cubs.
I agree.
We thank Tyler for a job well done producing our show.
Tyler Farengol in from the bullpen. Nice job.
Awesome job. Thanks to Ron Coomer for an interesting 20 minutes with us. David, people can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, or it's called X, I believe, and on our website, 670thescore.com. Looking forward to seeing you at opening day.
Opening day Thursday.
Before next Saturday's show.
I will be there Thursday, White Sox and on 310 against the Tigers. Cubs right here on the Score on Thursday night. Cannot wait for opening day. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse. We will be back next Saturday. We'll be back here Monday morning at 5:30 for Mullenhaw. Talk to you then. Thanks for listening to Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Rosa Bloom is next.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Wrapping things up here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bruce, I think we have to provide a public service. So we need to let people know that, number one, Justin Steele is okay. He said so. He took a line drive off the knee. He's going to be okay. We'll find out if they move him back in the rotation, as you suggested. I think that's a little overreacty. but that if that's a word, is overreacty of a word?
Yeah. I just think the building up that pitch count to opening day is important, but two side sessions might be enough for them to say he's good to go.
Give him the ball. I think he can figure it out. He's ready to go. He is the ace. And then the other one is the weather forecast for Thursday at Guaranteed Rate Field. South side of Chicago at the end of March sometimes can be a harsh environment. Not so much, maybe. 50 degrees and sunshine right now in the forecast.
And plenty of good seats available.
Plenty of good seats available, which may be the case on July 28th and September 28th.
Look, it's silly for me to say this, but I will anyways because I'm prone to saying silly things. Going to the ballpark, having a good seat guarantee every time you're there, enjoying Major League Baseball, albeit maybe the White Sox not winning more than they lose. It's still fun to go to the ballpark, okay? I don't care. It's the major leagues. I know expectations are different in 2024 than they were in 2060 or 1964 when I would go and sit at both ballparks and go the day of the game and get the best seat there. If I would buy a cheaper seat, but I would end up in the best seat.
I want to ask you a question that is related to our business. The perception business. We deal with optics and we interpret things based on delivery, charisma, personality, and we make judgments. We're standing right in front of these managers. We're asking them questions and we're judging them on how they answer them. And this might sound terribly unfair, but I want to get your opinion. Pedro Grifol, I think, has a lot to prove this year in a lot of different ways, but I think he's got to come across better to the fan base and the media is a conduit to that fan base. Could he look worse by comparison because Craig Counsell is so very good at that part of the job? Or are we the only ones paying attention to what the Cub manager says on a daily basis and what the White Sox manager says and does on a daily basis? I wonder about that as we come to work every day.
It's a really interesting question, David, because in fairness to Grifol, and I agree with you. I don't disagree with anything you said. But Grifol was brought in to manage a team to the playoffs last year as a rookie without any experience. That didn't work out. You want to lay any of that on him? I think that's okay. Now he's asked a total different job, okay? He's asked to develop and put a smiley face on 60 to 70 wins, okay, and developing players that a lot of them should be at AAA, but will be at Guaranteed Rate at 35th and Shields. I wouldn't want that job. I don't care if it's
you
one
of 30.
You
would want that job.
I would
it's
not.
One
want
of 30.
It. I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want that job because I don't know where you go with that.
You think he regrets taking that job?
No.
It's not what he was.
No, it's his
it's
lifelong
not what it was
dream.
Purported to be when he took the job.
It was his lifelong dream to be a major league manager. It's a great job in theory. This particular job with the White Sox in 2024 is not a great job. It's just not. It isn't. If you win 70 games, are you considered a success?
If they win 70 games this year, he is.
Yeah. I mean, but is that good enough for White Sox fans?
No, it shouldn't be. And I don't think it is for most of them.
Right.
So let me ask you this. What's the number of wins that Craig Counsell has to contribute to or what the Cubs have to be at the end of the year or else this season could be deemed
contend all year and win 85 games. Be there at the end for your division or for the wild card. Is it a world championship team? It is not.
I'm going to stop you right there. Last year, that's exactly what happened. They contended all year. They did not make the playoffs. They didn't win 85, but they came as close to maxing out their potential as they could possibly. It was not a successful season.
I disagree. I think it was successful because nobody was predicting. I think I predicted that they'd win 86 games, and people were laughing at me.
And I probably think they overachieved based on my expectations. But I think that when you talk to Tom Ricketts at the end, the way they built them up, where they were in September, you ended it the way you did, and it's hard to call that a success.
It was a failure at the end, but overall the season had a lot of positives to it. I mean,
true.
I don't think you could.
No doubt.
I mean, and the fact that they're building a farm system where these farm system players hopefully will continue to come through the system and be talented major league players. Again, like Bush in a trade, like Miguel Amara,
Miguel Amaya, yeah,
Amaya behind the catching,
yeah.
Those are significant things. You're going to see, you know, guys like, young guys coming through the system that hopefully will be around for a lot of years.
You know, you mentioned football. We kid about the fact we were Caleb free for 2 hours, but the Bears are on the verge of something very good. I think likewise, you look at the Cubs. They're on the verge of something very good.
They
again.
Should be. Yeah.
They should be. They purged. They did what they needed to do in that awful day in 2021 when everybody left town and goodbye, Javi, goodbye, Brian, goodbye, Rizzo. Now this is what they're looking at
next. Can you measure the success of the White Sox or the Cubs by if injuries continue to happen to their rotation, do Horton and Brown become viable replacements and major league pitchers right away?
It's a great question, and it's one that will continue to follow. That's why I think you can remove it and make it less important by reaching deep. Tom Ricketts and Jordan Montgomery still out there. Maybe that's a story we'll cover.
David's
this
coming
week.
After your pocketbook, Tom.
We'll be here.
Look out.
We'll be here all every Saturday, all season long, talking about that and what they should do. Bruce, this was a lot of fun. We did not connect with Garrett Crochet. They're in a players-only meeting. God knows they need the time spent with each other and trying to figure things out. So, yeah, that's fine.
Hopefully next week will be a different story. We need to get White Sox people on here as well as Cubs.
I agree.
We thank Tyler for a job well done producing our show.
Tyler Farengol in from the bullpen. Nice job.
Awesome job. Thanks to Ron Coomer for interesting 20 minutes with us. David, people can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, or it's called X, I believe, and on our website, 670thescore.com. Looking forward to seeing you at opening day.
Opening day Thursday.
Before next Saturday's show.
I will be there Thursday, White Sox and on 310 against the Tigers. Cubs right here on the Score on Thursday night. Cannot wait for opening day. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse. We will be back next Saturday. We'll be back here Monday morning at 5:30 for Mullinghaw. Talk to you then. Thanks for listening to Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Rosenblum is next.